This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lee Chui Lin and Uma Paganapike Pagan. And in our final story of the day, today is a day all about how the government's going to be making money, spending money. So we're
just doing things, lah.
Yeah, basically. So our last story is in line with that. A joint study by the government's Economic Planning Unit and the United Nations Development Programme has estimated that Malaysia might have potential energy savings of up to 49.62 billion ringgit from 2016 to 2030. And this is according to Yeo Bi-yin, who is, and I'm just going to say this in one breath, the energy science, technology, environment and climate change minister.
It's such a great title.
Isn't it? You can't even turn that into an acronym.
I quote, the study shows...
ESTEC.
ESTEC? Mm-hmm. There is an acronym? Okay.
Not a real one.
The study shows that the main obstacle from widespread use of energy efficient practices is the lack of the regulatory framework. Therefore, the government is in the process of coming up with a framework for Energy Efficiency and Conservation Act. And they're calling it the EECA, right?
So she explained that buildings actually utilize up to 50% of Malaysia's electricity consumption, reflecting a huge potential for cost savings if that energy usage could be optimized. And so what they're doing is they're preparing an energy performance contract to retrofit roughly 5,000 government-owned buildings nationwide.
Right.
So they're starting at home.
Yeah. And, and so this is taking a look at the... massive opportunities that lie in the energy efficiency industry and how Malaysia, I guess in many ways, if we try hard enough, we can probably lead the charge in Southeast Asia. And it feels like we have an environment minister who's up to the task, right? And who's really
enthusiastic.
Keen on doing it and
yeah.
Enthusiastic, which is more than can be said for... for the energy and environmental ministers in the past, I feel.
I'm pretty excited by this. I would also like to hear from you guys. What do you think? I mean, is this an initiative that you would embrace if you run a company, if you are in a building right now, if you own a building? Would you like to see this retrofit applied to you so that you can also participate in these savings? Let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime... we have on the line Von Kok Leong. He's the past president of the Malaysian Green Building Confederation. Von, thank you for joining us on the program. For the typical building that we see in the country at the moment, what are some major aspects that can be changed in order to save a significant amount of energy?
Okay, first one to look at is actually, for example, the external part of the building. How we can help to make sure that it attracts less solar heat gain. Because as you know, solar heat gain is something that we have to tackle in Malaysia. It's a very, we are a tropical country. And if you tackle it properly, then at least the building will be cooler. And when the building is cooler, we will use less energy to air condition the space. And when we use less energy to air condition the space, we should also mean that we would need to use less electricity. And when we use less electricity, which also means that the power plants do not need to power up so much. Therefore, they would also reduce the carbon dioxide emission through their production of electricity.
And how could our buildings achieve that key goal to become cooler?
So, as I mentioned, there are quite a few layers to look at. If you start from the external, one of the important parts is actually the fabric of the building, what we call it, the building envelope. It consists of the external walls and the windows and the sun shading and all sorts of things related to the external part of the building. If it is a totally new building, there are a lot of talents, a lot of skills among Malaysian architects who can already design a very efficient building, passive design building, to take care of that. But if it is an existing building, not necessarily old, then if you look at the external part of the building, for example, if the glass can be upgraded to something that can help reduce solar heat gain, that would be the first kickoff, first start. And once we pass through that stage on the inside part, we look at the air conditioning. If the solar heat gain is reduced by a good choice of glass and introduction of shading devices that cut out the sun from getting into the building to the solid wall or to the glass part, once that is done, then at least the air condition, the load, the cooling load required will be reduced because the inside of the building will be cooler. Therefore, needs less energy. And once that is so, then inside the air conditioned part also, there are two types. One is about regarding the design of the cooling part, and the second part is about the control of the cooling part. For example, on the design part, if we know that the usage of the cooling is reduced, therefore the total energy use will be reduced. The second part is the controls part. If you allow people to have a chance to control the air condition inside the building, then at least it will not, a lot of energy will not be wasted, you know. And then, of course, we also have the lighting. Now, lighting contributes quite a bit of heat energy to the space as well. And, of course, for every watt of lighting you save, let's say if you're using LED, you would use less wattage of energy to light up the same light bulb to produce the same amount of light. You would also reduce the heat that is produced by some of these light fittings. So every watt of light energy, watt energy saved in the lighting would actually reduce maybe 1.3 watts of energy, because the other 0.3 is attributed to the cooling required to take care of the heat that was produced by the lighting. And of course, we also have LED lights, which are extremely common now, that also reaches a long life and good quality and cooler. And these are actually all the attributes towards a good green building.
So what would retrofitting entail in terms of green buildings?
Actually, very little needs to be done, except for those three things I mentioned to you, like the building fabric, the aircon, the lighting. And one more is actually the lift. Of course, if the building is not old, which means that the lifting system would already have taken care of the advancement of lift vertical transport that has occurred over the last few years. But if the building is much older, then this opportunity arises to use a good efficient lifting system, which actually again reduces the use of energy to carry out its purpose. You know,
in terms of cost, is it expensive to retrofit our buildings?
Normally, when it comes to this kind of cost, you have to also consider the story I'm going to tell you. Like, for example, it's all about the demand and supply. Some years ago, when we produced black and white photographs, is cheaper than color photographs. And these days, producing colored photographs is cheaper than black and white because of demand. So now these days, you go to the shop, you ask for black and white, they will charge you more. But here's the same thing in green buildings, it's much the same. So if we have drive up the demand of certain good products, for example, we already have done so through MGBC, through the awareness of most architects and engineers and building developers, that, for example, a low VOC paint or even high performance glass, you know, because of the demand, the prices of all these products have actually dropped significantly over the last few years, therefore making it more affordable to people. Gone are the days when we sit down and talk about going green will cost you about 20-40%. No more like that. Through the records that we have got at the Green Building Index, the GBI, we found that to go green costs about from 0 to about 5-6%. You know, so it's not like those 30-40-50% that people try to scare the public. You know, that going green will cost. It's no longer like that kind of magnitude. But of course, also you also have to consider, for example, personal choices. There are people who would also like to introduce very high efficient equipment that they personally favor, or some certain models that they favor. That is their own choice if they wish to spend that kind of money. But generally, we are conscious of going green, and therefore we also do not encourage people to be exorbitant in the spending to achieve the same result. And the results have shown that going certified will cost between maybe 0 to 2% of the over the total construction cost of a new building. And for to go to a GBI silver, it might cost between 1 and maybe 4%. To go to a GBI gold, maybe 2 to 5%. And go to platinum can be 3 to onwards. You know, but for retrofitting, that tends to be a little bit more expensive. The reason was because you're comparing it against a building, for a building which is not going to spend any money on the structure, or many of the existing parts. You see? So you're only retrofitting the parts you need to retrofit. But if you include the basic structure costs as well as the basic building cost of it into it, and the retrofitting cost would not be that significant. And on top of that, the green part of the retrofitting would be even more less, much more less than that. Yeah.
So, okay, just to sum it up, is it in the interest of developers and consumers to make energy-efficient buildings?
Yes, it is. Green building has a lot of stakeholders, apart from designers, and we also have developers, building owners, building maintenance people, and so on and so forth. If the building is green, for a start, the maintenance part of it would be even much more simpler and more cost-effective to maintain a green building, because the commissioning of an existing existing or a new office building would be one of the requirements of GBI. And it's just like if you buy an expensive car or a normal car, you will still need to maintain it. But if it is commissioned well, then the maintenance part will be much more easier, and the building performs, like a well-tuned car, you know. And for buyers, also the same thing. For a start, it would reduce energy usage, so therefore your energy bills should reduce. And also even the waste and the water part, the water usage will be less, and therefore, again, your water bills will be reduced. All leads towards a much better environment and a good practice, a good awareness for the country. So by converting existing government offices into green buildings, it does make a lot of sense.
Von, thank you for your thoughts. That was Von Kok Leong, past president of the Malaysian Green Building Confederation, and we've been asking you that question as well. What do you think? I mean, would you be happy greening your building? Is that something that you want to see, especially if you're perhaps a business owner? Let us know. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, hear some music and then enjoy the football and then enjoy your weekend. We are signing off from the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.